Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I want to say thank you for tuning in. And there's been a bit of a delay getting part two of this podcast out because just our personal and professional lives have been hectic the last few weeks. So as can happen, life took over. But we just wanted to wait and do this right because the content that the publicans gave us was so good, we felt it needed our proper attention before we put it out to the public. The need for support and sympathy continues with our publicans, and hopefully this podcast will just shine a light, a small bit more of a light on the situation that they find themselves in at the moment. So welcome to The Last Call, part two. In part one, we got to know the pubs featured in this mini-series a bit better and got some insight into what made them the pubs they were in March. In this part, we aim to look at how these pubs support other industries like the arts, how COVID has affected the people behind the pubs and the pubs themselves, and also what we can look forward to in the future from our six pubs.
If you're a new listener to the podcast, welcome. Open up a can and relax. But first, consider listening to part one of this mini-series. If you've had a chance to listen to episode one, feel free to talk into the slab of a back catalogue of podcasts we already have. You can follow us on social media at Snugcast on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. You can support the podcast by going to patreon.com/Snugcast. And we appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast. Sláinte, guys.
Pub culture in Ireland is much more than providing a place for people to have a pint. Pubs create social bubbles, outlets for people within all spectra of society. As we saw in part one, the local pub is a community hub, a place where speech, music and ideas flow at a rate faster than a pint can be pulled. We begin this podcast by showing the unwavering commitment our favourite publican show the arts, even in times of grave uncertainty for their businesses.
Ed Call explains why supporting the arts is vitally important to Tully's in both Carlow and Waterford, and how he believes there is a symbiotic relationship between supporting the arts and the success of their pubs.
Okay, there's a lot to cover there.
Yeah.
There's some interesting developments that I'll touch on that you'll be delighted to hear about maybe. So in terms of supporting the arts, a huge part of what I do and what I'm about, and kind of I would have definitely picked this up from family. My mother would have been very involved in the Carlow Arts Festival, or Aitcha as it would have been known, with the bar all through the 80s and 90s. We would have run a bar for my uncle with its own theatre in the basement in the 90s in Carlow as well. So the arts has always been something I've been interested in. I'm not creative at all. I don't have that artistic flair, but by God, I love it. I mean, there's nothing I enjoy more than a really good arts festival. I'm on the board of the Carlow Arts Festival. I have been for the last 4 years. So I'm passionate about the arts. I really am. And I really feel that small Irish businesses have a kind of an onus to support, and no more so than right now and going forward into whatever kind of landscape we see after COVID, the arts in particular, because they're, whatever about the publicans and we're struggling, but the artists and musicians and creators and the people running the theatre and the lighting and the set, like the entire ecosystem for the arts is under such pressure at the moment. And it's what makes us, it's what brings us joy and what makes us all feel that little bit more like, you know, calm and happy. So the arts have a huge role to play within society, and we need to do everything we can to support them. But also they have such a positive effect on businesses like mine. Like, we got behind Spree when we opened up in Waterford that first year, because I would have known Spree. I would have holidayed in Dunmore as a child and come into Waterford for Spree August Bank Holiday weekend every year. That was the highlight of the summer. Like, that just, you had to get in for Spree. And so we knew coming down into Waterford how important Spree was, and that we said, absolutely, anything we can do with Spree, we're going to throw ourselves at it. And that first year, we put a couple of pallets on the road outside, put music on. I think we had 15 or 16 acts across the weekend, paid for all that ourselves. We, you know, we're big believers. You pay all the artists who perform. No one performs for publicity or for a couple of likes on social media or any of that. Everyone gets paid, and that's the only way to do it. It's only right and proper. But we put that on, and the response was phenomenal. Like, you know, it became a venue very quickly. You went down to Tully's on O'Connell Street for Spree, some good music and just good crack. And I think that is, without a doubt, how things are going to go for pubs that are going to have to rethink. And publicans are really good at this. We've always been adapting. We've always been changing, because that's how society moves forward. And you have to move with it, or you're left behind, unfortunately, to a certain extent. But I think definitely outdoor, more cultural activities, whether it's music, performance, whatever it might be, you know, that's what's going to draw people to pubs, back to pubs. And it's going to be we're going to have a huge part to play in getting that to happen. And in terms of the cultural quarter, I'm involved in that. I'm on the steering group with council there. And there are plans around pedestrianisation, not 24-hour, 24/7. I don't feel that always is a solution, because, you know, there's very little appeal in any pedestrianised street in Ireland in January on a Tuesday afternoon. You know, so there needs to be, pedestrianisation isn't a panacea. If you're pedestrianising it, it's because there's something happening. There's a reason for it. So I know there are plans, hopefully, for pedestrianisation on O'Connell Street at weekends. And we're certainly working with all the various powers that be to make sure that we have a presence there when things come back, that we can have people on the street. We can have a really strong presence that doesn't look tacky, or, you know, it'll look right. It'll look like Tully's. And it'll hopefully just tie in nicely. It'll just kind of flow from inside to outside, and it'll work really well. Fingers crossed.
Tom Ryan backs up the love of music and the arts in Waterford, and my support in music has historically been vital to the character of Phil Grimes Pub.
I probably think it's an important thing to point out, there's been a great history of music as well in the pub. Like most pubs in Ireland, a lot of pubs have traditional Irish music, or they could have, you know, a session, or even great cover bands, or so, like, it's important to mention the people that have helped me, and even before my time, in the upstairs room there, there's a great history. Actually, the history of music seems to come out of the walls up there. So, in recent years, there's been incredible people that are almost like my brothers and sisters in music, and that have helped the music scene in the pub. And we kind of have a rule, really, we try and just have innovative, original music. And the music scene in the pub, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, has been just incredibly strong. And people like Patrick Hennessy and Gary and Johnny, there's been a number of people that have helped with the music scene along the way. So we've had some incredible gigs the last few years. Don't put on gigs incredibly often, as in we don't do a weekly gig because it's very hard to pull a strong crowd for every gig if you do it too often. So we try and do a gig once or twice a month, and that's what's worked the last few years. So we've had some great gigs up there, some magical moments and some special moments. So for a lot of people, they would associate the pub with music, and with gigs, you know, there would be a lot of people that would have played here or come to gigs here, and their idea, if you mentioned Phil Grimes Pub in Waterford, the first thing they would think about would be music.
As many of you will know, we have a great love for the Irish language. That love is shared by the four provinces, as Fergal outlines to us here.
It's really important for somebody who speaks Irish, and even if it's very, very basic Irish, that they can feel comfortable. And it's also people who have might be revisiting the language. We have a lot of dubs there who, you know, loved Irish in school and couldn't believe, actually, it's amazing, they couldn't believe that, you know, in a working class area, that somebody would even think of opening a bilingual pub. And it's not that like we feel like we've kind of invented anything. All we're doing is we're trying to make it normal to speak Irish. Do you know what I mean? There's not like, even the term Gaelgor in a way carries a kind of a thing. You're different to me. No, we're not different to anybody. We're basically a community who give a safe place for people to speak Irish and trying to promote the language in a very positive way, not in a way that, you know, if you don't speak Irish, you can't get in, or, you know, it's a place where you can speak Irish to the staff. Like, there's literally hundreds of Irish speakers in the area who come in and they mix with the local people. And I think it's the future. If people want, there's a big kind of a stigma attached with the Irish language, unfortunately, not the fault of the Irish speaker, but that, you know, there's a disconnection, and it's obviously a very historical thing. You could go on about it for a long time. But the reality is, unless the language is living, and we do a lot of our business in the brewery through Irish, we're bilingual. Like, I mean, every time when we deal with Lidl, when we deal with Super Value, when we deal with our customers, our accountants of pubs, like, I will always say, it's very funny, I put like La Masse or La Ja Hill, Fergal, and at the end, a lot of people will write back in Irish. And it's just, there's a huge amount of goodwill towards the language, and loads of people, and it's amazing, it's great timing with Imelda May's tweet there the other day. She's on Radio 1 there, it's like really interesting. So many people rang in and said, yeah, look, I just didn't get the chance to learn it. I feel really like it was stolen from me. Like I wasn't, you know, supported with it. And there's a lot of things, obviously, there's a lot of excuses as well, but she was right. Like, you know, we should be in school learning English as opposed to in school learning Irish. And it's one of the reasons, I think, as well, that that Ireland ranks very, very low in Europe in terms of having being bilingual or even trilingual. Which is insane, considering we're a brilliant musical nation, and we could be really, really good. We could be quadrilingual. We could be, you know, I don't even know the next one up, but you know, we really are. And I think the reason for that is there's a historical reason for the Irish language not being popular in Ireland. But you have to give somewhere to speak it, and that's what we're doing, and in a very uninvasive way. I mean. People know if they come to the pub that they'll be welcomed very warmly if they order their pint of Skoiga. So, and even our staff are learners as well. So they'll regularly, try to improve their Irish by speaking. Like it's a brilliant thing, you know, and it serves the community and it enriches our lives. So, I mean, what could be better, do you know?
From pints served up as Gaeilge, or in English prior to the pandemic. The pandemic nonetheless hit, and on March 15th, many pubs closed their doors for the foreseeable future. These pubs have yet to open their doors through months of sympathy from the public, but a lack of support from the government, compounded by a support package this week that will barely scratch the surface for many pubs. Aoife Brennan of the Kilteal Inn explains what impact the COVID pandemic has had on them.
Well, I think when my dad's 81 and he was a retired guard, and he bought the pub 30 years ago after he retired from the guard. So it was always kind of a long held ambition of his to be a businessman and own his own business. So he and my mum poured everything into the pub over the last 30 years. So for him, and my mum passed away 2 years ago, but for him, His sadness is, will I ever open the doors again? And for it's almost a hobby for him, because he goes and he pulls a few pints and he has a chat with the lads and he comes home again. He's a beekeeper as well. So for him, it's kind of he's in good form, but he's pretty down about not reopening. He spent a lot of money. He got some local builders in and they renovated the bar. I just called in to see it the other day and it blew my mind. It's absolutely gorgeous. He took out the pool tables. He built a whole new lounge with an open fire in it. The builder got some old wood that was upstairs. They're old confession boxes, so it's actually really cool. And broke them up and made partitions in the snug. So it's like a proper date night snug, they call it up there. Dad said it's a good pub to bring your mistress to, because no one will see you in the snug. It's like, oh God, okay, we won't get into that. But for him, he's kind of worried that he never opened the door again. For the locals, I mean, they're struggling with not having their social hub. On St. Patrick's Day, my dad was emptying the lines and doing a few jobs after they decided to close up on the 15th. And him and his two staff members came up with the idea they're going to deliver a St. Patrick's Day drink to all their locals. So the two women broke all the Pringles cans open and used the lids to put on top of the pints, and they brought them around to all the local people. And then one particular, I love him, he was always my favourite, I won't name him, but when he saw the two women getting out of the car with his pint of Coors Light and coming up the drive, he burst into tears. Because for him, he's a bachelor, he lives on his own. His brother passed away recently, his twin brother. And so he comes down to the pub every night for a chat. And when I worked there myself, I'd say at 10 o'clock, he's coming in the door. And if he didn't come in, people would be ringing to check on him to make sure he was all right. So, you know, it's that kind of a thing. So for the locals, it's the money that my dad has poured into the pub at this stage of his life, getting all the work done, paying the builders in the hope that he would be reopened. And now he's these bills to pay and no income. And then for his staff, he's worried that he has these three great women working for him and they're all local, but he feels like they're going to get jobs somewhere else, and they're going to have to get jobs somewhere else because if the COVID payment ends and that kind of thing. So he's worried about losing his well-trusted and loyal staff and his customers. And for himself, he's worried he's locked the doors permanently. So it's kind of sad in that regard. He's worked his whole life. All he wants to do is leave something for his kids and grandkids. And that is what most publicans want to do. It's mostly a family business for people. So that's kind of the effect.
If it then proceeds to reveal the impact this has had on our father.
He loves it. He loves the crack. And that's my mom. When my mom was there as well, they just loved the crack. And they had the best crack. They were playing pranks and people. And it was just always fun. It was always a fun place to be and to go. So he misses it. And he misses his friends. He doesn't even call them his customers. They're his friends. So, you know, that's kind of hard on him. But when he was showing me around to see the work that had been done, you can just see the pride in him. The pride he has. When he bought that pub 30 years ago, we were horrified. I was a teenager, I think I'm age, date myself now. But we were horrified when we saw it, because it was awful. It was filthy. It was rat infested. It was full of criminals. And him being a retired guard arrived up going, you can all head off now. And he cleaned it up and he did a fantastic job. He pulled all the black boarding off the walls and found all this lovely red brick behind it, and he's just so proud of it. And for him to not even have a date as to when to reopen is hard. And like I said, he's 81, he's always going on about he's going to die soon. It's hard for an 81 year old, but it is hard on them. And it's hard. My uncle is a publican in Ballymount. He owns the Star Inn in Ballymount, and he hasn't reopened either. He has a kitchen, he could do food, but again, passing trade. People aren't going out. People are nervous about going out as well. So yeah, it's tough on people.
Mike McGrath tells us how COVID has impacted Mother Max in Limerick.
So I hate the term wet pubs. It drives me a little over the edge, right? And I don't mean to have a go, but this is a term that has created. We're now a subcategory within the Irish pub. You know, we are 7-day licensed publicans. Right, and in fact, the wet pub is probably the traditional Irish pub. You know, we are the pubs. You know, and when we consider that, you know, some of the other guys who went into food turned into gastropubs. I've nothing wrong with it, right? That's their thing. You know, but the new, as we're so called, wet pubs, you know, are left kind of sitting idle, right? And you know, the announcements, look, they're not great, right? Let's be straight. We all would have moved and worked in as much as we could to prepare to open. And I suppose what's important to say is that we had no guidance and we'd no guidelines. We kind of had an idea of where it was going. We didn't fully know. So everyone kind of moved as best they could, waiting to be told. I mean, I'm on record as saying I'm exceptionally disappointed with how this has been handled by the government. I think we've been treated in the most disrespectful manner. No other industry, no other sector of industry has been treated the way we have been. To basically bring us to the 11th hour to say, no, we're not opening. At a stage when premises had bought in stock, had contacted staff, you know, had done rosters, the amount of work and effort that was going on in the background in terms of procedures, you know, and sort of in terms of training, you know, and just to be halted without a buy or leave, I think it's highly disrespectful. I think the government have done themselves a thorough disjustice in the way they've handled it. Now that's me, that's my rant gone. So I think in terms of wet pubs, I think we're all feeling a bit left behind. We're all feeling the pinch. I think as of this morning, I think I read like there's 11 pubs in Dublin confirmed to be closed. Now it's harder to say around the country how many more pubs are, because how many pubs will close, because a lot of these pubs, right, will be family run pubs who may only open a couple of evenings a week anyway, or open for the parties, open for the community events. And I'm sure that they'll want to continue that, but it may not be financially viable, because right now we're receiving no support for the business. You know, personally, we're receiving the PUP that we're getting, or else it's what's transferred into the EWSS, which is the payment support. But, you know, the business is not getting any support. So we have costs that are ongoing every day. How do we pay it? It's coming out of all our pockets at the moment, and it's quite disheartening, to be honest. You know, quite troubling.
Marie Mellet expands on this impact, not just on the pub, but on the Mellet family.
As a family, it's taken its toll on us, because I run the pub with my dad, and like he's 69, so he's kind of he will never retire, but he's going in that direction. I'm 35, so I'm kind of at the beginning of my career, and it's a funny balance between the two of us. It's funny between the sixth and seventh generation, and we have different views on things, but both of us, we do want to see the pub open again. And look, we're trying our best and we're trying to stay positive, but it's really, really difficult. Even just the manner in which it was done last week, it was such short notice, no more than back in July as well. It's just really hard to take, and the whole thing is played out in the media, and you're just watching, like you're watching Twitter to find out about your future. And that's really, really hard to take. Like, I wish that there was somebody who could tell all the publicans in Ireland their future before it goes into the national media the next day. But now, I mean, even Leo Varadkar said it last week before the official announcement was made. Like, that was really hard to take. And he's like drip feeding bits of information to you, and you're still like, God, I wonder, is that true? I wonder, is it not? And then when you hear it, it's just, I don't know, it's devastating, really, to be honest.
Marie shows us why they haven't served food yet and why they aren't likely to either.
Yeah, look, I suppose you don't want to kind of talk down about your colleagues. We're all publicans and everyone's trying to make money. I don't blame any of the pubs for doing it. I just personally wouldn't, because if we serve food, I want to do it on my terms. Like, I want it to be food that people would enjoy and say, yeah, Marie, that's a really good meal. I don't want to bring in a pizza from a local chipper that I can't swear that it was cooked correctly or anything like that. I just wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, most pubs, they are trying their best, and the guards, from what I hear, have been quite good doing inspections, but I would like to see them do more, because there are some rogue publicans out there, and they're not in any particular county. They're in every town and every county in Ireland. There's one or two bad guys, and they need to be called out on it, because they're slowing the whole process down. You know, and how will they feel if there was an outbreak of COVID on their premises? That's my biggest fear, you know, and that's what would stop me from kind of opening until NPHET say that it is safe to do so. And there has been an awful lot of talk in recent days about pubs just saying, do you know what, we're going to open regardless. I wouldn't condone that, and I think that it could be very damaging to your business model in the end. You know, we just have to, what we have to do is take it, but we need support, because I would worry if we don't get a little bit of support from government, we may not be here, you know. And it's awful sad to think about and worrying.
Tom Ryan of Phil Grimes explains how COVID has impacted on them.
Maybe not as much with this, with the announcement for the 10th of August as previous announcements, because I've become, with the uncertainty, I've come to live with the only thing certain is the uncertainty. So I've come to terms with that. So my anxiety level is kind of at ease, perhaps only recently on that. Financially, I suppose the value of the pub as a business, or the building, the equity, everything is obviously gone down massively, and all of that, the financial side of things is very worrying. But to just get back and to try and make a living from it and back to basics would be all I would hope for at the moment. And I do feel a little bit bitter that some businesses are open there in the hospitality sector. And I feel personally for my business here, there's nothing that I cannot do that has been done in other premises, following, you know, the guidelines with social distancing. And I cannot say that about every pub in Ireland or every business in Ireland, but it does make me a little bit bitter.
And I suppose, like you said to me yourself last week, you know, if you were let do it, you would do it right, because the reputation of your business depends on it.
Yeah, I think it's important that if there was an outbreak, and if it was traced back to the pub here, either from myself or family or staff or from customer base, that it would be, you know, I think integral to be able to look at yourself in the mirror to say, look, well, we've done everything right here as best we can, and I think you try and run a business there, you know, within the laws and within, and I think that sets a standard for the clientele that comes in, perhaps, and it's kind of respected. Maybe not on an individual night when you tell people, look, it's closing time now, lads, come on. But in the long term, it's respected. And we have, it's been the way that I've run the business. Other people maybe have bend rules at times, but I think maybe there's not enough reward for trying to do something with integrity, perhaps, at that. Yeah.
We find out more from Ed about how COVID has affected Tully's from the perspective of a publican with one pub open and one pub closed.
It's a really tricky one, and I'm no expert. I mean, I spend most of my time behind the bar pulling pints. I don't spend a huge amount of time big picture and that kind of stuff, or looking too much into the future. I take it day by day, and I worry about what's happening inside my front door, and I don't really worry what's going on outside. But I can certainly see changes in consumer habits and in customers, and there's a whole load of factors there. There's obviously people have legitimate concerns around their own health and safety in indoor premises of any kind, and so there's going to be a cohort of people that just won't be coming back to pubs and restaurants and lots of other things for the foreseeable, and that's totally understandable. No matter how much precaution we take, there's risk with everything in life, and so some people are just not going to darken our door, and I get that. But the entire change of what the running of a food business as a pub, or a pub as a food business, it has certainly changed the dynamic of what a night out or what a kind of the experience for the customer is. And I can see that certain customers aren't enamored with it at all. And, you know, they might come once, but they're not coming back. And that has a knock-on effect because, you know, there is a habit of going out. And if you get out of the habit of going out, you find other things to do. And maybe that's a more grown-up society that we will become, but it certainly isn't great for the publican. It'll be, again, a new challenge, and we'll have to adapt to it. We'll have to find new ways of bringing people to our door. So I look at Carlo, and we saw a great couple of weeks in the initial kind of reopening where there was great support and people were just happy to be out and kind of able to do something akin to normal. but it's certainly slackening off. Now, it's in a period in the year when we'd be quiet normally anyway, you know, and there's obviously a real push this year to travel and get around Ireland, whatever else, and Barlow unfortunately hasn't got the strongest tourism offering. It is a brilliant county and there's so much to do and see here, but we tend to be lost in the Wild Atlantic Way, Waterford's Greenway. There's lots of really strong, really well marketed tourism offers around the country, and Carlo just has to continue chipping away at it. We're kind of a hidden gem, and that is our USP. And those who know Carlo know it's a wonderful county, but that's a piece we need to work on, definitely. But in terms of how I feel about the way things were handled from the various kind of announcements in terms of the reopening, the 10th of August one, I don't feel quite so enraged by as the move around the 20th of July and the last minute nature and the kind of offhand way that was dealt with. I mean, legitimately operated publicans across the country genuinely believed, because they were told, 20th of July, reopening of wet bars. People rehired staff off unemployment payments. People ordered stock. People invested in huge amounts of infrastructure and PPE and sanitizer and all these different things, with the expectation that they'd be open, there'd be cash flow, and they'd be able to pay these bills. And to be told, with how many working days, a day and a half of working days and a weekend, that actually, no, it's not going to happen, it felt massively disrespectful to the industry. I mean, it's not right to do that to any industry. It's not about, oh, the poor publican here. It's like whatever industry is given that kind of short notice, and in fact, you're not going to open when you expect it to. That was really disheartening, and it really did feel like we were an afterthought, and that the employees and like people kind of need to think. I know that the image of the publican is not always the best. That's fair enough, and we don't always do ourselves favors in that regard. But like, we employ people who pay mortgages, have rent to pay, are raising kids, you know, and we're not, most of us, jetting around the Bahamas or whatever else. We're working and we're trying our best, and that seems to be kind of lost a little bit, I think. And that was really disheartening, and it felt just, yeah, it hurt, to be frank. Whereas with the second kind of moving of the dates from the 10th of August and push back there, I think we were a lot more skeptical, maybe less naive. So it didn't come as quite a shock. I mean, it still raises all the issues that were there when the first date move was made, but I suppose we were already burned, so it's hard to burn us worse in the second time. But it still hurts, and it's still going to be a real struggle for so many publicans to be able to pick it up again and try and reopen. And it'll be hard to know, particularly as the kind of tour season winds down in September, will it be the right move for some publicans to open, you know?
And we hear Fergal from Four Provinces' experiences of COVID so far, contrasting the brewery and the pub.
Okay, well, so for the pub, obviously a separate business to the brewery, but the pub obviously closed in March. And at that time, I'm sure like yourself, we were probably saying, ah, Jesus, it'll be a month and we'll open again, you know, the type of thing. Anyway, thank God things went. We have a lease and our landlord was very, very good to us and didn't charge us rent during the period. Smartly so, I think, anyway. I think it's ridiculous people trying to look for rents during this period. I know, especially when there's more mortgage breaks available and stuff. But anyway, yeah, it's been a great opportunity for us to reevaluate what we did right and what we did wrong in the business. We had two really, really good staff that we unfortunately now, when we reopen, won't be there. Brilliant guys who taught us a lot. And unfortunately, you know, hopefully we can take them back in the future once things improve a little bit. But yeah, obviously a very good chance to do up our lounge as well, which is and our fixer roof, which had been seriously problematic. We've now opened up the area. Hopefully in 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks when we reopen, we'll have space for a lot more people and those people to enter the pub safely. Because the bar was doing the majority of the business for the last year. Now, bear in mind, we're only open a year, but we did have good trade on a Saturday and a Sunday, a Friday, Saturday and a Sunday. Midweek was the challenging thing. I think it's the same for a lot of pubs. But Yeah, we looked at the lounge in making it more inviting and bringing, you know, some elderly, we might be able to get some of the local elderly people in that to feel safe, you know, and if it's done right, that we can bring them in even for the next year, because by the time the vaccine probably comes around and hits and stuff like that, you're probably talking a year anyway, that they will be able to come in and enjoy it. Because really, like, I think there's a big problem coming down the line in terms of mental health, for the very reasons the pubs are closed. I know it's probably a bit of a, I suppose pub, like, alcohol can cause mental health problems, but at the same time, the pub is probably the area very, very important to people's mental health and social, the social element of their lives. And them being closed has been very difficult on some people, and that might sound, you know, crazy to some people. And but really, for the majority of the country who enjoy a drink responsibly, I think the pubs being back open will be a very welcome thing in a safe way. There'll be no clusters associated in Ireland with pubs. I think the people who've opened, we've been doing it very, very well. And I really feel that, you know, in a controlled environment like the pub, and if it's done right, that there's very, very low risk of contracting or spreading COVID-19 in the pub. Obviously, alcohol complicates things, but in my opinion, a local bar, like a suburban pub is and a country pub, they're definitely manageable, and I think we're being made a scapegoat. But at the same time, we can totally understand as well people, you know, people's opinions on it. They're scared. I mean, people are scared. So if you scare people, you're going to get people negative to something. So my point is, look, when we open and when the majority of publicans open their bars, they're doing it to protect you too. They're not going to let you do anything silly or foolish. They're going to play by the rules and help you and make sure everything's clean, and the chances of you contracting COVID-19 is the same as you walk into a shop. So look, that's the way I see it. And it's been a great chance to learn for me as well. You know, looking back on the year, how we can improve. We looked at every element of the business. We chopped it down. We made huge decisions in terms of how we're going to run it going forward. So look, it's all good. I think it's been a positive thing for us, but I'm sure a lot of pubs won't see it that way. But given the fact that we were able to stay open via the brewery, you know, I'm just blessed, you know. But at the same time, I can totally understand, like, other publicans absolutely pulling their hair out at this stage. But we'll be open in a month, and we're really, really gunning for it. I think a lot of people around the area are looking forward to us to open as well.
Having heard how COVID has affected the pubs, we finally asked the pubs, how can people support them going forward? As Fergal excellently explains how he sees life after COVID developing in the four provinces bar.
Well, they can go online, or they can order our beers if they'd like to. We do online orders via the pub. We have an off license, so I mean, you can just go on our Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. You'll see our beers that are available at the moment. They can support us by buying, or they can just support us by you know, like the way they have. I mean, they've been sending us messages of support. You know, the real crumbling thing is, like, when you're bleeding open, you know, they'll be shouting at you and driving down the road. They know my van at this stage. They're all shouting at me. I can hear them. You know, it's great. It's a great feeling. They're great people, and a really good community. Really strong people, like, you know. And they're. It's an area that you know, obviously down before has suffered a little bit from criminality, etc. You know, it was probably a little bit of a bad. But I'm telling you, like, 90, like, the people who live there are the best in the world, and the hardest workers. You know, smartest people you'll ever meet, and we're just lucky to have the opportunity to serve them. And I'm sure when we do open again, we'll be able to repay them. Hopefully, we were meant to be sponsoring the Crumlin Senior Hurling Team this year. That didn't happen. Obviously, we were closed. But look, we're looking forward to it. And when we reopen, we'll be reopened with a bang. Loads of great musicians in the area. Paddy Casey lives down the road. We've had a load of people in. We've had you know, Mary Black in, Francis Black in, all the brothers. Roshino, a lot of people in singing in the pub and playing, and it's got a great name for music as well. So look, we're really, really blessed in that respect, and we'll be pushing on the music when we reopen as well, which is vital, I think, in a pub. And I think one of the things people are losing sight of here is, you know, around the world were known for our pubs, and that's why a lot of people, and their music and our language, that's why people are there. You just, all we're doing is serving it up for them. And we're trying our best to facilitate the people who want to, you know, celebrate that in their lives. So that's it. Look, you know, there's not really a big secret to it, but we don't think we're any different to anybody else. But I think the Irish language has to be central in conversations. Then people need to see it, need to hear it in conversation, not in school. And they'll do that in the pub. We're only just one. I think there could be a great opportunity for hundreds of pubs in Dublin to do the same thing. Yeah, there's thousands of people out there who speak Irish, like thousands of young people who leave school every year, who go into the bar trade, who speak brilliant Irish and love the chance to talk to their customers. And there's customers who want to talk to them. So why don't we just start something here? Like, we just try to do, we're not trailblazers. We're really trying to have your local suburban pub being positive towards the Irish language. It's not a big thing. You know, I think the more people who try what we're doing will see that they'll reap the benefits in terms of, obviously, you get customers in, but also the pub will be a better place, you know.
Tom goes on to explain how he hopes his consistency will retain a loyal customer base when he can eventually open.
Sure. I suppose there's other places, you know, not just in the pub trade, you know, there's the vast majority of pubs to run their pubs to a high standard of and set within the laws and rules, and you know, this pubs end up maybe sell inferior products or God knows what, do whatever with bottles of spirits, or there's perhaps businesses that cut corners and that sort of thing, but it hasn't been what I have done, and I hope that there's a reward maybe for trying to be trying to do things by the book, perhaps. But if you're consistent maybe in life and fair, and that's something that, even if to yourself, that you'll always have to stand by.
Aoife from the Kilteal Inn explains the support they've had so far and what the future looks like for them.
Well, and they are actually, they've been great since my post went viral. I forget that real people follow me on Twitter, but people have been ringing them and saying they saw his post. And I do his Facebook page as well. It's Brennan's Kilteal Inn, if you give it a shout. So I was putting up pictures of the inside of the pub and talking about it. So he's had a couple of dozen phone calls and messages asking how he is and looking forward to seeing him again. So that in itself is really supportive. Somebody asked me about a crowdfunder. I know my dad, my uncle and different people in the pub industry, they're very proud. They won't accept help, but what they do hope is that when they can reopen, and they only want to reopen when it's safe, because, you know, they don't want to get sick, they don't want their customers or staff to get sick, is that people come out and support them again. And I guess be patient and be kind. I think a lot of retailers are finding people are frustrated and, you know, tempers are short and that kind of thing, but it's to be patient with, you know, the new setup and the new arrangements. They're going to have to queue up at the door and be seated and stay at their seat and that kind of thing. And that's going to be very weird for them not to be able to wander around the pub and have the chats. So it's just look for support, see if you can support your local trader in any way, and any retailer and any crafter and anyone else, local theatres. I lost my job in a local theatre in Naas recently, and, you know, buy vouchers for places. Like, if somewhere serves food and you can buy a voucher from them, vouchers last 5 years now, so you can do that as well. So, you know, there are ways to support them, just fiscally and morally as well. So whatever you can do, send your public in a text message and tell them you're looking forward to seeing them again. They love that.
Ed explains how the season that COVID has hit has hurt them and how Tully's Bar can be supported.
Absolutely. I mean, like the tourist season in Waterford with Spree, the Summer in the City Festival, Waterford Walls Festival. I mean, that period from kind of June to the second week in September, when Harvest Festival kind of wraps up the festival season, that's where we pay our bills. That's how we get through a quiet October and November, a really quiet January, February and March to Paddy's Day. You know, that's what gets the business through the year. And you take that out, it makes the numbers very difficult for most publicans to reopen and pay insurance, pay light and heat, you know, and those bills will come within the month, you know. It's not easy, without a doubt. Well, I have to say, in terms of in Waterford, we're online, we're selling growlers and takeaway cocktails on tullysbar.ie, and the support has been phenomenal. So I couldn't ask people to do much more at the moment in that regard. Just keep buying our growlers. All our beer is obviously coming from small independent brewers as well. So the knock-on is you're allowing us to buy stock and support other small businesses locally and within Ireland. So the knock-on, it's a doubly positive thing to do, and you end up with good beer too. So it's a real winner for everyone. But to be honest, we've been blown away by that. That was something that we were just looking for something to do. It was more to be active and kind of just remind people that, look, you know, we might be closed, but we're not gone, and we will be back. And in the meantime, it allowed us to do something. And it was really important for us to be doing something, because at that stage in May, we'd been closed since March. I didn't know what day of the week it was. I didn't know where I was coming and going. And turning around and saying, okay, we're going to open a website, do the online thing. There were forms to fill in. There were research to do. There was quotes to get. It felt like you were back in business, and I was getting up and I was in the home office and I was doing work. It was brilliant. And my girlfriend, I remember she commented like, oh, Jesus, yeah, you're back now, because like you were awful to deal with for a couple of weeks there. You know, it really did change the whole mood. And then it turned out that people actually were interested in the product and we were supported with it. And it was just, it's been great. It really has. And like, it's been lovely just to see customers, regulars, come up to the door. We can't bring them in, but we can say hello to them. And, you know, you can have the chat through the doorway, and then they get the bottles and on they go, and we see them next week. That's brilliant. Really is. And then we took the model to Carlow. And even though we're reopened now in Carlow, we're continuing to do the takeaway growlers and the takeaway cocktails. And it goes back to what I'm talking about, that adaption, that kind of always growing, always changing. That's a whole new part of our business now that we didn't have before. And it'll be a piece that we'll keep going forward. Like, you know, to use that awful phrase, we'll be there with it for as long as we can make it work. It's brilliant. And it adds a whole new piece to what we can do. So, in terms of supporting us, there you go. Grab a growler this weekend.
Mother Max also have growlers available, and Mike discusses their approach to keeping cash flowing in and beer flowing out. And we see how this has impacted the Mother Max regulars community.
You can always put money through the letterbox. We're not that proud. Just pop it in. You know, if you want to write a note, you know. You don't want to put it in a card, we're okay with that. I'm joking. So the 4th of June, when we kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit on the 4th of June, and we were being asked by a lot of our good customers who couldn't get access to good beer, and they were asking us, is there anything that we can do? And they put the challenge up just to see what could be done. So we started a growler service. We're selling one liter growlers, 1 liter swing top glass bottles, and then we have four craft or four artisan beers on draft at any one time. And you literally order online. It's muttermax.ie, purchase it and collect it. And that's running Thursday to Saturday. It's been really, really interesting, right? It's been a great service. We're loving it, right? We've nearly 290 growlers out in the Limerick beer community, which is it's colossal. I wouldn't have thought that we'd have got that out, right? We bought 170 growlers, thinking we're going to have loads left over. We're mad. A week and a half later, we were ringing our supplier going, like, how many more can you get to us now? Like, can we drive somewhere and collect them today, or do we need to get them shipped down, or where are they coming from? So it was a baptism of fire for us. It helped us. I think it helped realize that we're not renowned for craft beer in the city. But there are an awful lot of people out there who either, number one, love us, or number two, love craft beer, or probably number three, love both. People have been hugely supportive. And in every growler that they buy, it not just helps us, but it helps the brewer and the brewery and their family as well. So it's a lovely story. Like, and I mean, it's fantastic. And we're not the only ones doing it. I mean, it's quite interesting, because we spoke a little while earlier. You named some of the pubs. We've been speaking to bars about growlers for the last couple of months, you know, and we've been throwing back experiences together, trying to figure out how you're doing it, how you're not doing it, what works, what doesn't work. And it's fantastic, right? It's probably brought about a group of maybe eight or nine pubs together in a way that's highly unusual, you know. And you're looking at like Dave down the beer house in Cork, right? The guys in Tully's, you mentioned them. We were chatting with them, right? There was two bars up around Sligo that we were having a conversation with, Brennan's and Dingle. You know, it's nuts how it's just simple as just to reach out, and most people are quite happy to say, yeah, come on, let's have a chat. We can't have a cup of coffee anymore because I can't jump in the car and drive down, but we can do it like this over Zoom or just literally by email or text or whatever medium we decide to do. But it's great, and it's only in the beer community, I think, that you could do this as well as we have, you know. So growlers were something that we had already considered prior to this pandemic. We sometimes joke, we have a whiteboard downstairs with the mad ideas that go up, and normally we don't write it down, we just draw a picture, and it's kind of like, what is it, you know? So we from that picture we might have 10 other ideas, but growlers was one that was definitely up there. And I suppose in everything that we do, we try and do it as well as we can, and we just hadn't figured out how we were going to fill those growlers right, or to a stage that we were happy to fill them and serve them. And I suppose in the midst of the pandemic, you kind of have to figure it out, yeah. You know? So it was definitely, my background is science and engineering, right? So we ran a DOE on the system downstairs, you know, time, temperatures, flow rates, diameter of the tubing that we were using, pouring on it, right? Even the angle we poured the growler, right? We spent a week messing around with this, right? Now, I'm going to say, right, we were fairly drunk for most of the week when we were doing it, but we landed on a system that works, you know. It pales in comparison to turnover that we had, what we're taking in right now, but it is certainly appreciated, and it covers the standing costs and the fixed costs that we have. So what it means is that we don't actually have to dig in to the reserves that we had built up. We don't actually have to dig too deeply into our own pockets to keep it going. It means that we're supporting other breweries, but the key element to this, right, and something that we sometimes understate, because of social distancing, on our website, we built in a little time slot that people call up, and we have a little hatch on the side, and they call up to collect their beer, right? And while we're waiting for the beer, we always have a little bit of a chat, right? So you now have 3 to 5 minutes with customers who you would have said I know quite a lot about. It turns out we didn't, right? We've gotten to know our customers a hell of a lot better by having that chat for 3 to 5 minutes, once, twice, maybe 3 times a week, right? And I mean, the relationships that we've built are just absolutely second to none, right? And never mind, I suppose, selling beer in the future, we've now actually helped develop a fantastic relationship base with friends, beer in the beer community, customers, you know, and it's absolutely, as a positive from this has been probably the single biggest positive that we can take away from it, you know, and it's those personal interconnections and relationships that we have.
Marie Mellett has some strong messages, as well as showing her commitment to the community of Stonyford.
At this moment in time, God, maybe give me a text or a call, because I miss everyone so much. Miss the busy nights, but I really, really miss like a Monday evening at work, because there could be between 10 and 20 guys here, and it's all the crack, and you do a few bets on the horses, and you come into work and they say, oh, Marie, you look like shit today, and then you throw an insult back at them, and it's just all good crack. So I really, really miss our regular customers, and I just can't wait to see them again. And I know I've seen a few of them around town, and they're in the pubs that are open. And that's great. I'm delighted that they have somewhere to go, but maybe just don't forget us. And I can't wait to see you again.
As we start to finish up with our pubs, we start to look for a bit of positivity. Few have the perspective that Ed Cahill has on the current situation.
Well, I mean, the light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully, is an effective vaccine. That'd be great. And if we could have it for, you know, the end of September before the Christmas season, even, that'd be brilliant. I suppose in positivity, look, there will be new ideas, there will be growth, there will be changes. Publicans, as I say, are very resilient. We will find ways of bringing the customer back, making the customer feel comfortable and happy, making the bars buzz again. You know, there are brilliant operators out there. There are brilliant bars. They were brilliant before this. They'll be brilliant when things are back to some kind of normality, whatever it is. that won't change, you know. I mean, I do remember the first or the second Saturday night in Carlow after we reopened, and we're down from a capacity of maybe 320 or 330 to 90. So that's how we're, like, that's the kind of level we're at. And I remember thinking, God, this is going to feel like walking into like a library, you know, no live music, no nothing. It's just going to be people quietly sitting, having their bit of food and a couple of pints. And I came in off my break or something and went into the bar, and the buzz was there. The atmosphere was there. And that's intrinsic to the building. That's intrinsic to the fabric of an Irish bar. And that's not going anywhere. And so that's the positivity, is that it will be back. It'll just take a lot of work and we'll need a lot of support, you know. But that's out there too. So hopefully it'll all come together.
Mike gives us a great insight into the no-nonsense, straightforward chatter around the high stools of Bunner Max when summarising the situation. But he does see a light at the end of the tunnel nonetheless.
Yeah. I think look, we're it's doom and gloom at the moment, right? I mean we're looking down, I suppose, a timeline that is very, we don't know where it's going, right? We don't know what's happening. Since the last announcement, we've actually been left with no glimmer of hope, because prior to that we were talking about dates when we're going to open. Now we're just talking about the date that we're going to review. You know, now we're talking about whether we're going to be open at all this year. You know, and it's quite sad when the doors just remain fully closed. You know, at least before that, there were a little bit of a jar and there was a little bit of light coming through and you had a little bit of hope, right? And it's sad for us, you know, and we get quite disheartened by it. But also for our customers, they get quite disheartened as well, right? Because we have very, very good friends and customers who come in and they may only buy a drink and sit down for 2 hours, and it's the chat, it's the company, it's the messing that goes on at the counter, you know, it's those interactions. And, you know, they're the ones that I'm really, really worried about at the moment, because, you know, we talk about mental health. Like, who's looking after their mental health? You know, and we've dropped the ball on a huge section of society that are out there, you know, and it's really quite sad, because, I mean, the pub is the focal point for an awful lot of people and in an awful lot of communities, right? And
we finish in the Kilteal Inn with a lovely sense of community summed up by Aoife.
I think, you know, my dad's so excited to open up the place again, and the customers are dying to get in. And so that kind of is the most positive thing to come out of it. And the locals, the locals up there have been fantastic. In the snow, they kept an eye on the place when my dad couldn't get there. They've been keeping an eye on the place and him, because he doesn't live in Kilteal. And, you know, they've been giving him the general dig out and local builders and all the rest of it coming in to help him out. So that's been the best thing about it. It's the community and people looking out for him and him looking out for others. So I think that's the best thing about the place and about the pub, its community.
Marie's passion and determination to stay positive shines true on her final message, which was to the fore as she led from the front on the hashtag support not sympathy campaign.
Yeah, I do think that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I've no doubt about it. Publicans in general are very, very tough. I think that a lot of us can survive this, but we have to stay positive and get support. If we get those two things right, we can survive it and we will open. We don't know when that is, but we can open, and we will have days of a man walking in, ordering a pint at the counter and having the crack with them again. And that's what we all look forward to really at the end of the day.
To finish up this podcast and mini-series, we play a less edited chat between Tom and DJ. A chat that left us longing for the support for publicans like Tom and everyone else we've spoken to get the support they deserve. It ends on an incredibly positive note, an exchange that shows why we should support these people, because it does matter to them. As beer consumers, we do make a difference. Look, lads, thanks for tuning in and enjoy the last minute or two of the podcast.
And I suppose just to finish up, Tom, thanks yes. for being so generous with your time. How can people support you? At the moment.
Well, thanks for asking that. Well, the previous for the last 3 weeks, the previous set of phases there, 4 weeks ago when the announcement there, previous to the 10th of August announcement, I had bought in stock because I got it wrong. I really felt that the pubs were going to get the green light, so I decided to sell to try and sell a bit of the draft beer. And rather than sending it back again, and also to sell some hampers. So the hampers I have are whiskey hampers, gin hampers, cider hampers, a selection of different ciders. I have a craft beer hamper or a standard beer hamper. Not everyone is into maybe beers with stronger flavors. And of course the growlers there, I'm selling draft beer with a limited choice, 3 or 4 draft beers from Wednesday to Saturday between 6 and 8 for collection. So it's been heartwarming the last few weeks, and it's kept the pub alive a bit, and the light is back on, which is, you know, is a maybe to end on that, but the light is back on, and it mightn't be glowing, but it's flickering and it's on. So that's
a brilliant message of hope to end on, Tom. Thanks a million, and I just on behalf of myself, I want to thank you for your generosity in donating to our fundraiser for the Solace Cancer Support Centre. And certainly I'm looking forward now to picking up 2 growlers and going home and enjoying them this evening. So Tom, thanks so much for your time.
Not at all, DJ and Owen, thank you very much for your help over the last couple of years, and it's people like yourselves as well that give a little bit of warmthness and a little bit of feel good factor back into the pubs and the positive side of pubs. So thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll join you for a pint soon.
Please God.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.